Well, two Sundays ago, my family and I were sitting at the table having lunch, two Sundays ago, and we were doing what we normally do, where we sit together and we talk about what we got out of service that day. And that could be during testimony time, it could be during worship time, it could be during children's church, it could be during announcements, you know, it could be during the message, whatever that may be. But what did you get out of service that day? And my son Isaiah, who tends to be analytical and observative, or observation-minded, he said, "Dad, I think that in every single one of your messages, you talk about knowing Jesus." And I was like, "Well, that's good. Yeah, that's good. I hadn't put that together, but I'm glad to hear that that's what's coming across, you know? That's so good, you know? And more than anything, you know, that I could say, my hope is that, like I said 2 weeks ago, that I could encourage each one of you to have your own relationship with Jesus Christ. It's so important. You know, you maybe look at someone else's relationship and say, man, I wish I had a relationship like that. But your relationship with the Lord is different than everybody else's, and you don't have to feel like it's supposed to be just like somebody else's. Have your own relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? You know, rather than just knowing about him. You know, we can know a lot about like a famous actor or an actress. You know, we can read all about them, we can watch them in their shows, we can hear the interviews that they have, we can get to know like a lot about them, their favorite color, their favorite food, the kind of car they drive, who they're married to right now, you know, where they grew up, how they got their shot in show business, which I think that term is really insightful. You know, it's business for show. It's only for show. But all the while, never know them personally. Never have a relationship with them. I think of the movie Cars 1, the first Cars movie, where Lightning McQueen, he navigates into his sponsor's booth, and there's these rusty cars in this sponsor's booth. And one of them has a license plate that says Fred on it. And this Fred car comes up and talks to Lightning McQueen, and Lightning McQueen's like, "Well, hello, Fred?" And he's like, "Oh, Lightning McQueen knows my name. Lightning McQueen knows my name." You know, but Lightning McQueen didn't know him. And I think that, you know, we think that we can know a lot about somebody and therefore we become an expert on them and are entitled to what they have to offer. Okay? We can know a lot about Jesus but never receive the salvation that he has for us unless we know him personally and make that choice. Yeah. But we think that we're entitled to it. Later on in that same show, it's all cartoons, Pixar movie. Mario Andretti, the car that represents Mario Andretti, the famous race car driver, comes up. He drives up to the security checkpoint because he's going into the big race at the end of the movie, and Fred is again there. And Mario Andretti says, "Well, hello, Fred." And he's like, "Mario Andretti knows my name. You gotta let me in. You gotta let me in." That's not how it works with Jesus. That's not how it works with the kingdom. He wants you to know him, to have a personal relationship with him. For that's the only thing that means anything in this life. So, 2 weeks ago, we were talking about how would our life look different if we had a relationship with Jesus, not just checking the box. And maybe you asked, well, how do I get to a place where I can, where my life would look different other than just trying to do it on my own? Well, I'm glad that you asked, because that's what we're talking about today. We're not talking about behavior modification, right? But rather that we would first have a burning heart. A burning heart. You can open your Bibles with me and turn to Luke 24. It'll be on the screen. Luke 24. We're going to start in verse 13. But before this is the day that Jesus rose from the dead, okay? And so Luke 24 and verse 1 talks about the first day of the week, early in the morning, that the women went to the tomb. And they went with spices and things like that for Jesus' burial and embalming. But while they were there, when they got there, they realized that, hey, the tomb's empty. And as they stood there, the Bible says wondering, that the Greek word there for wondering means at a loss. They're just like, what do I do now? Okay, then like these two angels appear. And they begin to tell them that, hey, Jesus isn't here. He's risen, you know. And they just get so excited about it. You ever been really excited about something? You get really excited about something that they ran back to the other disciples and they're just like, their mouths are going like a mile a minute. Blah, 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 blah. Did you see it? And then this happened. And as a parent, you're like, slow down. Slow down. I can't even understand what's coming out of your mouth. Your words are going a mile a minute. Okay? And that's what happened in verse 11. It says, they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Like nonsense. But Peter got up and went to the tomb and found that everything was just as the woman had said, and left there, it says, wondering, again, wondering, but a different Greek word, meaning to marvel or to admire. He just is like, I don't know what to think. I don't know. He wondered to himself what happened. Now, this is the things that happened leading up to what we're reading today. So we're going to start in verse 13. If you got that, thank you. All right, verse 13. Now, that same day, two of his followers, right? Not the disciples, but two of them. And that same day is the first day of the week that Jesus rose from the dead. Two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there these days?" I love this. What things? What things? "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more is the third day since this all took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." I feel like they're missing something here. Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. Verse 30, when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Lord, I thank you for your word today. I thank you that it is living and it is active. God, I thank you that you want us to explore today what a burning heart looks like. And so, God, would you enable this feeble vessel here, God, to speak your words, the things that you want to have shared today, and that you would open each of our hearts to receive that which you want us to know, that which you want us to hear, and that which you want us to live in, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So that burning, their hearts were burning within them. That burning is the Greek word, see if I can say it here, kaiomene, kaiomene. It's a verb, and it means to set fire to, or to kindle. Not an Amazon Kindle fire, but to kindle an actual fire. In other words, a fire had been started, and in this tense, continued to burn in their hearts. And these two men recognize it as happening in their hearts. Okay, so if they recognize it as happening, that means what? They didn't start the fire. Billy Joel didn't either. I know you were going there. So what caused that burning in their hearts? Was it heartburn from some food that they ate? No. Was it like when we get angry or jealous? We feel that burning on the inside? You've seen the Lego Movie 2. It's Kids Sunday, so I got to make sure I talk about a lot of kids stuff here, okay? Lego Movie 2. In Lego Movie 2, Batman talks like this all the time. Batman, he's a permanent bachelor, it says. You know, he declares that he is a permanent bachelor. But the queen kind of mischievously says, well, I'm going to marry Superman, or I want to marry Superman. And he's like, wait, no, marry me, or whatever, you know, changes his heart because he's jealous, okay? And later on in the movie, when on their wedding day, Batman says to Superman, he says, Supes! That means Superman. I'm getting hitched! That means getting married. Feeling jelly? That means jealous. I can speak two languages. I can speak Batman and English. And Superman says, not at all, not at all. And Batman says, oh, it's burning you up inside. It's burning you up inside. Is that the kind of burning that these two are walking with Jesus were experiencing? No. No, but we've likely experienced that burning of jealousy inside to the point where we can be consumed by it, okay? To the point where it can actually drive our actions or our behavior. God made our hearts to be consumed and to burn, yes, but not for the things of this world, only for him, only for him. Think about it. How many times have we felt angry or frustrated or jealous or offended or bitter? No, that's none of us in here. We don't do that. No, we're better than that, right? No. What is it that enables us to get to where we feel that way? Feelings, right? You have to have feelings in order to feel things, right? Okay. Did God give us those feelings? Yes. Yes. Nod your head, yes. He gave us those feelings, yes. Why? So that we wouldn't act like the Visine guy. Gets the red out. Bueller. Anyone? Right? No, but so that we can have passion. We could have passion. We could be driven toward the things that we wouldn't otherwise care about because we wouldn't know what caring was without feelings. But God, like that, God intends for all of his creation to use the giftings that we receive from him and our own very lives to bring glory to his name and to draw others to him. Just like in a similar way, the feelings that we have and the desires of our hearts is to bring glory to his name, meaning he gets the credit, not us. He gets the credit, not us. I was looking up this quote from Charles Wesley. I saw a lot of different variations of the quote, but I found enough that I think that this is the actual quote that Charles Wesley said. Enough of the exact same as what I'm going to read here. It says, catch on fire with enthusiasm, and people will come for miles to watch you burn. Catch on fire with enthusiasm. Enthusiasm. Catch on fire with enthusiasm, and people will come for miles to watch you burn. Okay? Catch on fire with Jesus Christ in your heart, and people will come for miles, or at least listen to you on the internet, to watch you burn. Okay? Yes. Let's be honest. Jealousy, frustration, bitterness, offense, even anger at most times is all about us. It's all about us. What we think should be is not. And we get upset about not having it our way. Am I right? But God isn't Burger King. Have it your way right away at Burger King now? No. God is the King of Kings. He is the King of Kings. So this burning that we experienced, I'm making my wife laugh today. That's good. I prayed. I said, God, make me a fool for you as long as it brings glory to your name. That's it. Thank you, Madison. All right. So the burning that these two experience while walking with Jesus isn't heartburn, and it isn't Billy Joel's fire, and it isn't anger or jealousy or frustration. So if it's not those things, where did this burning come from? Let's put on our walking shoes today. These are my walking shoes. I wear them, except for when I'm working in the yard, I wear them all week long. These are my shoes. I walk in them. I sit in them. I don't sleep in them, but otherwise. And we'll put on our cloaks too, right? We're going to put on cloaks. Fine garments, not the dirty ones. Put on fine garments. And let's join them on the road to Emmaus here, okay? All right, back to verse 13. That same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked with them. Okay, so they were discussing Jesus and what had happened, his life. Okay, they were followers of Jesus discussing that. They had seen what Jesus had done. They had seen him be crucified. They had seen him die. And in their grief and their sorrow, they're discussing what had happened and what they had heard about that morning with the empty tomb. That word discussed in the Greek is soudzeteo, soudzeteo. And it means to seek together, to investigate jointly. In other words, in their questioning, they were doing that together. They were working through it together. Okay? They were working through their questions while looking for the answer. They were seeking that. Okay? Sometimes that's hard to do without the help of somebody else. Sometimes you need somebody else to walk that through you with you. And it's part of the reason why we have the church today. Part of the reason. Okay? I think of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, where Philip comes running up next to the Ethiopian eunuch's chariot, and the Ethiopian eunuch is reading from the book of Isaiah. At that point, it was the scroll of Isaiah. And Philip asks him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the eunuch says, "How can I? Unless someone explains it to me. Unless someone explains it to me." The questions that we sometimes get, other people probably have had as well. And maybe they're thinking about it right now. Okay? And so how great is it to get together with other believers and talk about God? That's what we do in our ladies' groups. That's what we do in our men's groups. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Okay? For most of us, the time that we spent with others is how we began our relationship with the Lord, with other believers, I should say. The time that we spent with other believers is what started our relationship with the Lord. Think about it for a minute. Who has had an impact on you coming to know the Lord? Who has had an impact on you coming to know the Lord? I've had a little bit more time to think about it than you, so I'll share my list. My parents, a janitor, a friend in youth group, a counselor, a part-time employee that I used to work with, pastors, my friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, my wife, a close friend of our family, wasn't actually aunt and uncle, kind of like Tom and Lisa, they're our aunt and uncle, you know? But we call them, at least in Florida and in Ohio, aunts, not aunts, okay? So it was my aunt Pam. spiritual fathers and mothers in my life, the mentors that I've had in my life, Bible school professors, classmates in Bible school, and those are just some. But each one of them, when I look back at my life, I can say, yep, yep, each one of them had an impact on my life today. Got me to a place where I needed to know Jesus, okay? We need that. We need others to further our walk with the Lord, amen? And even just being able to talk about something out loud with somebody else, so many times talking to one of you guys or Kelly or something like that, and I'm just talking it out, and as I do, this microphone falls off my face. As I do, as I'm talking it out, all of a sudden, like, something comes out of my mouth that I wasn't even thinking about until I said it, and I'm like, oh, that was good. I get that now. Thank you, Lord, for that, just speaking through my mouth right now. You know? If bad character corrupts good judgment, how much more will godly character demonstrated through others' lives impact us? And vice versa, our godly character impacting others' lives. But something else happens when we seek God together with others. Our hearts are made ready for a fire. It's like going camping and clearing a spot in the woods. Okay, I'm going to clear this spot for my campsite, but I'm also going to clear a spot for a fire. Okay, get rid of the brush, get rid of the garbage. When we spend time with other believers, we're clearing a spot for the Lord to show up in our lives. Okay, we're getting rid of that other stuff. Verse 15, as they discussed these things, Jesus came up and walked along with them. Matthew 18:20, where two or more are gathered in his name, he is Love the way you're talking today. Okay. He is there, yes. What is it called when two believers are hanging out talking about Jesus? What was it?
Fellowship,
yep. Church, yes. That's the word I was looking for, yes. Yes. A couple of guys at men's group after a session, they began to have a conversation amongst themselves, and then one of them began to share some things from his life, and they began to turn, everybody else came around him and prayed for him. And later I heard about that. They came up and said, "We just had church." I was like, praise God. Yes. It's so important to be in church, and I'm so glad you're here today. But this church isn't the building. The church is us. We are the church, right? I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together. Okay. Now we're on the same page. Jesus walks with us. He did physically then, and he does now with every believer by the Holy Spirit. What we are to do is to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Keep in step with the Holy Spirit. I like how the Message puts keeping in step with God. It's in Romans 3:28. The Message translation says, "We've finally figured it out. Our lives get in step with God and all others by letting him set the pace." By letting him set the pace. By letting him set the pace. Yes. Not by proudly or anxiously trying to run the parade. That's so good. Our lives get in step with God. He transforms us. And all others, moving in unity, right? By letting him set the pace so that we can reach our community. Not by proudly or anxiously trying to run the parade. Think about it. God isn't matching pace with us, but we are to match pace with him. I'm so glad today that Pastor Gary and Jan are here, because if you guys remember a year ago, we talked about that baton relay race, right? And we talked about like how Pastor Gary was running with Friendship Church, and he's running forward, and he's moving to the Friendship Church where God wants it to go, and then he puts the baton back like this. And here I come, running behind him, trying to keep up, you know, trying to match his pace, trying to keep up, you know. But what has to happen in that is that the first runner's in front, and he's just got the baton behind him. He's not looking behind. He's going forward, okay? So what does that second runner need to do? A second runner needs to match pace with the first runner. We submit to the pace of God, okay? I need three volunteers. Okay, come on up. Okay, come on up. We got kids. It's kids' service. Okay. I want you guys, nope, over here. Stand over here. And you just stay right there for a second, okay? These two are the two, you can come out of the doorway so people can see you. You look pretty today. Come on. All right, both of you. You two are the two guys in the Road to Emmaus, okay? You're just playing the part. You're just playing the part, okay? What I want you to do is I want you to walk back and forth. Why walk back and forth? Because we have walls. We can't just keep them letting them go. We got to have them turn around and come back. Come back and forth. You know, you guys, okay, you're walking together. You're walking together. So that, what does that mean? You got to, well, not necessarily hold hands, but you got to match each other's pace. Yes, and they're talking about Jesus, right? You guys are doing a great job at this. It's as if we planned this. We've been practicing for 3 months, actually. Okay, while they're doing that, Corbin's going to play the part of Jesus today, okay? This isn't the second coming. We're all still here, okay? Not yet, anyway. Could happen today, Lord Jesus, even so. Okay, but you guys keep walking. Now, Jesus is going to come up and walk with you. Okay? Well, you guys got to keep walking. You guys got to keep walking. Okay. But at some point, all right, you got to let go of hands. Okay. These two are walking. You guys start walking. Just keep walking, right? We got to give it a little extra instruction here. You guys keep walking. You're going to join them as they're walking, okay? So they're walking. So you go join them. Go. There we go. There we go. All right, but then Corbin, Jesus, is going to set the pace for the other two. So now, Corbin, you walk at a different pace, and they walk with you. There we go. This is what happens. We submit to God's pace, and we keep in step with the Holy Spirit. We don't try to run our own parade. We don't try to set the pace ourselves. Amen? All right, good enough illustration. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Keeping in step with the Holy Spirit is like putting a fire ring around our fire, okay? The boundaries that God gives us to live within, okay? We keep in step with the Holy Spirit, and he keeps us from the pitfalls of life, those stones that we would otherwise trip over, okay? Those things, those holes in the ground that we may otherwise step into, okay? He puts the fire ring around us when we keep in step with his Holy Spirit. Verse 16, they were kept from recognizing Jesus. Why? Well, some scholars say that in his resurrected body, he could probably look a little different. I mean, he is God. He can look however he wants to look, I would suppose, right? Yeah. But I also think this is due to having the wrong understanding of who Jesus was. The wrong understanding. So Jesus needed to reveal himself to them in a different way that would minister to their hearts, okay? As human beings, don't we sometimes need reminders that Jesus is alive and active in our lives? Sometimes we're like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for doing that. That's so amazing. God, you're so awesome. And we wake up the next day and we're like, God, where are you? I don't know where you're at. I don't even remember what you did yesterday. You know? And we need those reminders in our lives, don't we? That he's actively working in our lives. That he's speaking to us. That he's revealing why we struggle with things. That he's performing miracles. Yeah. This actually happened 3 times after the resurrection where Jesus' followers didn't recognize him. Once was here on the road to Emmaus with the two in Luke 24. Once with Mary Magdalene in the garden outside the empty tomb while she was crying. She thought he was the gardener, John 20 and verse 14. And with the disciples, including Peter, who went fishing after the resurrection in John 21 and verse 4. For each of them, Jesus revealed himself in a way that they would know that it was him without having to say that it was him, okay? In Emmaus, he broke bread, he gave thanks, broke bread, and gave it to them. And they're like, oh, he did this at the feeding of the 5,000, like Jason talked about earlier, okay? Mary, when he called her by name, how personal, how intimate is that? That's why I want you to learn the name of somebody else at Minnesota Teen Challenge event, okay? How personal, how intimate to know somebody else's name. Lightning McQueen knows my name. Not just my name, but something about me. It adds value to my life. When the disciples went fishing, Jesus said to throw the net on the other side. And 153 fish later, the disciple who Jesus loved, otherwise known as John, said, "It is the Lord. It is the Lord." But they were able to recognize him because they knew Jesus, because they had a relationship with him, and they had seen the things that he's already done. Okay? When he does a miracle, that's the Lord. When he speaks a word, that's the Lord. It aligns with his word. When he gives an understanding, oh, that's why I'm struggling with this. That's the Lord. And I think it happened this way too, so that the story could be written down, that we may relate to these two men today. As we learn about how our hearts can be set on fire. Verse 17, what are you discussing? Jesus says, what are you discussing? Don't you know? Don't you know? What things? What things? Oh, the questions that Jesus, the Son of God, asks us. Why would he ask a question if he already knew the answer? To get at what's in our hearts. Sometimes when my children make bad decisions, they do, sometimes, only sometimes. And I know that it wasn't a good decision because of the many times that I've made a bad decision in the past, right? I know that it wasn't a good decision. I ask them, do you think that was a good decision? I want to see if they see what I see. Do you see? Do you see what I see? Like God asking Jonah the questions in Jonah 4 and verse 4, God says, is it right for you to be angry when God spared Nineveh? And then 5 verses later, is it right for you to be angry about the plant that God caused to grow up and shade Jonah and then sent the worm the next day to eat it? Jesus' questions are like the wood in that fire pit that once set on fire will burn out anything in us that doesn't reflect him. That's what his questions do. They refine us. Verse 21, we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. This is why their faces were downcast, okay? They were grieved in verse 17. They had lost hope, or at least they were questioning, again, walking along the road, if Jesus was really going to redeem Israel. That word redeem in the Greek is laitrou. It means to deliver or to liberate. Their focus was on seeing Jesus Christ liberate Israel from Rome, rather than believing what the scripture said and the stories that they had heard about the empty tomb. Sometimes we can get caught up in what we see, the things that are going on around us, and we can miss the eternal things that we cannot see, like Jesus himself walking with us. Oh, man, I'm just going through this. I'm with you. Oh, but man, nobody understands my struggles. I'm here. Jesus is always, always walking with us. He's always walking with us as believers. And sometimes we need a little bit of a turning around, okay? So in verse 25, Jesus begins to speak to them. How foolish are you? And how slow to believe? Begins to turn their thinking around to the very scriptures that they knew so well as he begins to give revelation of it. And now we get to what lights the fire in our hearts. What lights the fire in our hearts. Check out Jeremiah 20 in verse 9. You got that one up there? Jeremiah 20 in verse 9, there we go. But if I say, I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is like in my heart, like a fire. Like a fire shut up in my bones. Like a fire. Excuse me. Talking too loud today, apparently. The words of Jesus are like fire in our hearts. Don't tell me that this old book, don't tell me that this old book can't set someone's heart on fire. It is the living word of God. It's the living word. It consumes all that is not of him and refines us in the fire. Don't tell me that this word can't set your heart on fire. It's unlike any feeling or indigestion or Billy Joel song. It may not be a physical fire that harms us. You've heard about that in the news? The guy who set himself on fire? Yeah, I think it was last week. It's not a physical fire like that. Though his words can hurt our pride, they can hurt our pride pretty good, which is a good thing. Like another song, Hurts So Good. But we need the fire in our hearts to consume everything that distracts and gets in the way of God speaking to us so that we can get a greater knowledge of him, a greater understanding of his word, but also to fuel the passion of sharing who Jesus is with others, to fuel that passion. Look at verse 33. I guess I should look at it too. Verse 33. The two from Emmaus, got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. At once. Now remember, it was night. They thought they needed to come inside. They had just walked 7 miles. But at once they got up, not caring about whether or not it was day or night anymore, not caring about, you know, whatever they may be afraid of or whatever like that. No, they made a beeline back to Jerusalem to tell people about what Jesus had done in their lives. Amen? They had one mission, to share Jesus with others. Is that our mission? That comes from a burning heart. As we close today, I believe Jesus likes to walk with us. I think he just likes to walk. I think there's something spiritual about a walk. He walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the garden every day. Jesus was born when there were no cars or bicycles or transportation, other than horses and donkeys. So everywhere he went, he walked around the country with his disciples. He walked with them. He talked with them. Okay? The two on the road to Emmaus, he walked with them. He came up and walked with them. And one day, praise God, his dwelling place will be with man again. Revelation 21 and verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." Are you stuck in an old order of life from before you came to know Jesus? Time to take a walk with him today. Take a walk with some others, but take a walk with him. But let him set that fire in your hearts. Let him set that fire. Let him set that fire. God, I just thank you for this word today. Lord, it was your word. God, you know the internal struggles that I went through this week to bring this word today. God, you know. I rewrote this message twice because it wasn't right. It wasn't what you wanted it to be yet. I just thank you, Lord, that this is the word that you wanted to give today. And Lord, may that be the cry of our hearts, God, that our hearts would burn for you. God, that you would consume everything else in us, anything that gets in the way, everything that hinders, any sin that so easily entangles. God, that we may not only walk, but that we may run to you, Lord. God, would you consume us in the fire today, Lord? It's a good fire. It's a good fire. It purifies, it refines, and it gives us passion to share you with others. Clear out all the other stuff, God. Let us walk with you that we may walk in the boundaries of what is good and right and pleasing. Put that wood of your questions into the fire pit, God, and light it on fire. Light it on fire with your word, I pray today. May your words, as Jeremiah said, I get weary of holding it in, and indeed I cannot. That's the rest of Jeremiah 20, verse 9. I cannot hold it in. God, may your words ignite a fire out of our mouths, God, to speak about who you are with passion, God, with authenticity. Lord, it's not something we manufacture. We have to think, okay, well, I got to go and I got to tell everybody about Jesus because I got to. No, because there's a fire in my heart, and woe to me if I do not preach the gospel of Jesus Christ because of what it's doing in my heart. So God, consume us in the fire today, in your holy fire today.